Jude, if you would turn to the book of Jude in your Bible, and that is right before Revelation, and there's only one chapter, so if you find Jude chapter 3, you probably are not in the right place, okay? So, But I appreciate all of you asking. I had major shoulder surgery back in November. It was on November 10th, and I remember the date because I'm a veteran, and on November 11th, the local store was selling chicken, and you got a free meal if you were a veteran. And I called them because I couldn't go, and they let my daughter go in and get my free meal of chicken. So that's how I remember the date. But most of you know I fell off a roof years ago, and I said some of this in Sunday school, but a lot of you have been asking, so I just figured I'd update. And I have had 8 surgeries prior to that on my knees and feet. This one was my 9th on my shoulder. And so I haven't been around for a while because I've been recovering. It's a 6 to 8 month recovery, so I guess I'm in getting there. But and then I need to have knee surgery and a foot surgery coming up. So if you could just pray for me. And then I always tell people, you know, falling off a roof is not advised, okay? It was a life changer. But praise the Lord, he knows, and he's in control. And here in Jude here in the book of Jude, in verse number 22, the Bible says, "And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." And we'll read those again, verse 22. "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." And we're going to just look at some thoughts this morning on 5 ways compassion makes a difference. 5 ways compassion makes a difference. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the special music and the song service, and Lord, how you've prepared our hearts. And I just ask you, Lord, to please meet with us here today. We pray for the message. Lord, I pray if there's one here today not sure they have a home in heaven, I pray today would be the day they come to know you as Savior. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done for us, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we think about compassion, okay, the definition of compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortune of others. And this Christian life should all be about others. And there's a whole community here. When we were driving in today, I was looking around thinking, how many people live here and are not saved? Maybe not even know how to get saved. And it's because of our compassion and our sympathetic pity. You know, the world is full of hurts and heartaches. And we're not exempt from that. But they need a Savior. And many times, if I asked for a raise of hands, most of us could raise our hand and we have heard someone say, "I just don't know what I have to live for." You know, and I can relate to that. In August of 1997, I asked the Lord to save me, and for the first time in my life, I realized I have something to live for. And when God saved me, that wasn't the end. Now I need to tell others. And to tell others, I need to see them where they're at. It says there in verse 22, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." I have to see where people are at if I'm going to be able to make a difference in their life. Now, I believe God, we all have things that God has equipped us with to help us reach certain people. Okay? When I got saved in August of 1997. And in the next year, August of 1998, we had a tent revival at the church, and Dr. Ron Garris, the president of Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, was speaking at the revival. And the Lord impressed on my heart to preach the gospel at that time. Well, where did I start? I started in the jails. Now, I had never been in jail, but I didn't get saved till I was 24. I did a lot of things I regret. But here's what happened. God put me in a place where I could relate to the men that were coming in. And you see what I'm saying? He put me in a place to make a difference. And to this day, that was what? Almost 30 years ago. 29 years ago. I still write inmates. We have a discipleship program, and we've had over 600 inmates that we've written to. We were on vacation this last week, and when I got home, by the way, my wife is here with me today. Sorry I didn't introduce her. That's Joanna over there. We've been married for 28 years, and I deserve a medal. I mean, she deserves a medal, okay? But I'm glad she had compassion on this guy, you know. No, I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce her. And as you know, I like to have fun. So if you can't laugh in church, I'm sorry. I'll laugh for you, okay? But listen, God put me in a place. So even now, you know, I write inmates through Bible Tracts Incorporated. And I don't know how many men have gotten saved or women. We have a whole discipleship course. There's 45 studies. And we've had two that have completed the entire course. And we send them a free Rock of Ages study Bible. And then we give them a certificate. But there's hundreds of others that are taking it. And by the way, I always tell the people I'm writing, look, you can spend all day listening to what everybody else is saying, or you have time. You can spend some time in God's Word and making, you know, getting closer to the Lord. But I can relate. You understand what I mean? God gives us things that we go through in life so that we can take that and help others with it. Too many times, though, we get focused on why me. And we're not looking at others. We're focused on ourselves. And we have to learn that if we're going to have compassion, we need to understand, we need to have a concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. And by the way, Jesus, I hope that was mine. Jesus felt others' hurts. He wept. He hurt. But he did something about it. The Bible says many times he was moved with compassion. Everywhere he went, he had compassion on the sick, the sinful, the brokenhearted, the hurting. And a lot of times, he was criticized for it. You know, there was a time when the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. And he met a woman at the well. And you know, he was criticized. But his focus was on others who were hurting. And that's how we should be. In Matthew 9, verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And here's the key. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So, I have five ways compassion makes a difference. And we just read those verses from Matthew, but it says there, when he saw the multitudes. Okay, and Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know what compassion does? If you want to have compassion and make a difference, then we need to be looking for it, the needs. We need to see the needs. And so many times, people aggravate us. Okay, they aggravate me. They do things. But you know what? Okay, for example, there was one time we took some girls on a senior trip. My wife and I did. They were two seniors and a junior. So we went on a senior trip. And we went to Kings Island and the Creation Museum there in Kentucky and a few other places. And each night we let the girls pick what restaurant they wanted to eat at. And one of the girls picked Red Lobster, so we stopped at a Red Lobster somewhere in Kentucky. And the waitress did not do a good job that night. And it was obvious something was bothering her. Now, a lot of times the reaction is, she's not getting a tip. Okay? And I may have said this here before, but if you're not going to leave a tip, don't leave a gospel tract either, okay? All right? Just, especially with your church name on it, okay? You know? So, not only did we leave a tip, we left probably a double or more. She followed us out in the parking lot and she was crying. You have no idea what I'm going through. I know I didn't do a good job tonight. But you have no idea what I'm going through. And we were able to pray with her in the parking lot. But here's my point. When all we're thinking about is my poor service that night, we don't see the need of someone else who's hurting. We have to look for it. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know what go does? It makes us see the needs of people. Jesus had a compassion. When was he moved with compassion? After he saw the multitudes. All around, we have to see past people's faces to their hurts. It's not fact, but act. Okay? We have to see... I already said this, but past their faces to their hurts, their hearts, their heartaches. We need to see. And listen, when we see, it wasn't that long ago. We were in a restaurant, and a fellow with a Vietnam hat came in. And I went over to him, and I said, hey, and we have a gospel tract. I've passed them out here before, but I just said, hey, I want to thank you for your service. Here's a gospel tract about a man who was killed in the line of duty. The man started crying. And he said, you know what I think about? I think about, and he named how many people, the number, didn't come back from Vietnam. And he said, I think about that every day. But you know what? There's a man that's hurting, and I have the gospel that can help him. But we have to see the needs. We have to see the opportunities. Anybody with a veteran hat, that's an opportunity for me to give them the gospel tract about the man who died in the line of duty. That's an opportunity. And I used to say no one had ever said no, but the other day somebody told me no, they didn't want it. The first time a veteran has turned down that particular tract. But that doesn't stop me from giving it out. There's always going to be people that say no. But that doesn't mean we stop looking. Okay, so we have to look. We have to see what's going on around us. Sorry about that. Do you see worried faces? Hands that are crippled? from diseases, holes in shoes? Do we see the needs of others? You know, they're out there. And sometimes all it takes is the Lord to lay on our heart to meet someone's need, and it may change their life. You know, I'm glad somebody took the time to give me a book written by James Dobson, and it was called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And in August of 1997, when my life was spiraling out of control, I picked up that book. I had it on my shelf for 2 years, and I read it that night, and I got saved that night because somebody saw a need and thought that this book might help them. Now, and I say that for two reasons. Number one is I'm glad somebody saw a need in me and was praying for me. And number two, I'm glad somebody gave me something. Now, it took me 2 years to read it, but I wonder how many times we hand out a tract or we witness to somebody and maybe they dismiss it then, but who knows? I know a man that got saved. He put a tract in his coat, and it wasn't until the next winter when he put the coat on and reached in, and there it was. Okay? But somebody saw a need. And we can talk about the parable of the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. We won't turn there, but if you know the story, there was a man that was waylaid by thieves, left in the ditch, and a priest went by, and a Levite came by, and they could have helped him. But the Bible says they just didn't pass by. They passed by on the other side of the road. He was not worth their time or effort. And then here came a Samaritan. The Bible says he went where he was. I'm glad that somebody came where I was at and told me about the Lord. Sometimes we got to go where the people are at and give them the gospel. But we got to be looking. All the priest and the Levite could think about was what it was going to cost them. The Samaritan saw a need and he met it. And he took care of him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You see the difference between the priest and the Levite? They saw him. They might have even felt sorry for him. But they didn't have compassion because they weren't looking. When the Samaritan saw him, he had compassion on him. And so number one is we got to be looking. Number two, five ways compassion can make a difference. Number one, we have to be looking. Number two, we have to be givers. Compassion gives. And in Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan, when he went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You know what the Samaritan said? He did what he could, then he had to leave. But he said, I want to make sure this guy's taken care of. He was willing to give whatever it took to help this man. Okay? Compassion is love in action. The Good Samaritan's compassion on the man who had been robbed and wounded by thieves moved him to take action. Now I understand, listen, I'm not saying we need to help everybody. But what I am saying is sometimes God puts people in our path and we need to yield to His Spirit and help. But if we're not looking, we'll miss all the opportunities. And God put this Samaritan, the man who was wounded right in the path of a priest, a Levite. But they didn't care. And then here come the Samaritan. And he gave of his time, and then he gave of his money. You know, it doesn't cost us that much to buy something. We see someone at a restaurant, maybe that we know. Maybe they're going through a hard time. It's okay for us to buy of a meal for somebody and witness to them. You never know what a gift does for somebody's heart. How many of you in here, no, don't raise your hand, but think this through, have been struggling and maybe you got a card? Or now we text, right? I mean, honestly, we have no reason not to be an encouragement. All we have to do is we can send a text all over the world. I got a good friend. I texted him one morning. I said, hey, Dave, just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. You know what he said? He responded and said, how did you know? I said, I don't know anything. The Lord just laid you on my heart. You know how easy that was? To be an encouragement to somebody? And now, when we hear about people that are hurting and they're not saved, that may change the whole course of eternity for them. If we are moved with compassion and we give of our time, maybe just sitting with somebody in the hospital. Maybe it's writing a letter to an inmate. Maybe it's seeing someone at a restaurant and doing something. I don't know. But we need to be looking and we need to give. Compassion moves us to give to God's work and individuals. I know you, next week you're taking in an offering for the missionaries. Do you know how far a gas card or what that means to a missionary? And you know what that is? That's a gift to the missionary, but it goes to your account when they get to the field and they lead people to the Lord. So there, you know, there's all kinds of ways when we give to God's work and to individuals that that helps compassion, that helps us to see compassion and to give to it and to change people's lives. And that's what it's all about. And then next, compassion prays. And in John 17, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And he prays not only on those around him, but he prayed for those that would believe on him through their word. And if you think about it, that means everybody that got saved then he was praying for, and everybody they led to the Lord, he's praying for us. He was praying for us at that time. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. And the least we can do, but probably the biggest thing we can do also, is pray for people. I mean, generally whenever I'm going out, I'll say, Lord, please put somebody in my path that I can witness to today. And do you think God fails to answer that prayer request? No. Now what happens is sometimes I'm not looking and I miss the opportunities, but he always gives the opportunities. And listen, when a text or a card or whatever to somebody that is hurting and we tell them we're praying for them, that goes a long way. That means a lot to people. And it gives us, it's a way we can have compassion and make a difference in somebody's life. You know how excited sometimes people get when they know you're praying for them and maybe they get a good diagnosis or it helps them deal with whatever they're going through to know somebody's praying for them? And that's a tool, I mean, that may be the greatest tool we have in the lives of others. And when I say least, it's the least we can do. And sometimes I think it's the least that we do. We don't do it like we should. So compassion looks, compassion gives, compassion prays, and then compassion witnesses. You know, who have we told about the Lord? I mentioned to you, somebody bought me a book that convicted my heart. If somebody did that for me, shouldn't I do that for other people? I mean, it's simple. Shouldn't we be a witness? I'm glad somebody told me that Jesus loved me. Who can we tell this week? Can I tell you this? I've never told the wrong person about Jesus Christ. You know how sometimes we tell the wrong person something? I've never told the wrong person about the Lord, ever. Everywhere we go. But we have to have compassion. And by the way, Jesus is our example, right? When he saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion. When we leave the, you know, there was a church I used to make deliveries at. And every time I would pull out, they had a big sign that says, "You are now entering the mission field." You know what happens today when we leave? We're entering the mission field. And there's a whole multitude out there that are hurting. And then lastly, compassion thinks. So compassion looks, it gives, compassion prays, compassion witnesses, and then compassion thinks. And here's what I mean by this. And you've probably heard the old saying, the old Indian saying, never criticize a warrior until you walk a mile in his moccasins. Or we've heard that, you know, maybe your parents told you, until you've walked in their shoes, don't criticize them. And you know, when we're compassionate and we're thinking, we put ourselves in the other person's shoes. And we think about the challenges they may be facing before we form an opinion. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. You know, what's afterwards mean? It means after you know the whole story. Sometimes we're so quick, we don't think through the whole situation before we form an opinion. And we don't consider what somebody might be going through, because we haven't walked a mile in their shoes. And if we did, it might change every opinion we have of that person. Think about others and their needs. Think first and then choose your words carefully. Listen, the Bible says here in Jude chapter 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now listen, the Lord knows we're not going to be able to reach everybody. But of some, we can have compassion and make a difference. But we have to be looking. We have to give and be willing to give. We have to pray. And then we have to witness, and we have to think. So here's the question. Do we have as much compassion as we should? If we do and we practice compassion, then we're like our Lord and Savior. He left his example. And he left us the example to follow. And a lot of times, you know, we read the Bible and we hear things and the Lord convicts us, but then we don't put it to practice in our life. And I'm going to tell you this, the world we live in today, when you show compassion to someone, that's foreign to them. Because this world is about getting all we can. And we don't care who we trample over to get it. So when the world sees someone genuinely concerned in them and their struggles, they're easy to witness to. They're easy to witness to. But we have to be looking. We have to let compassion work in us. And like I said, sometimes we feel sorry for people or individuals and the situation they're in. But when we're moved in compassion, we do something about it. And what we do about it is between us and the Lord. But He puts people in our path for us to make an impact on their soul for eternity. And this week, you know, I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to see this week. And who I'm not going to see. I spent the last week and so we spent in Texas. And it's harder to drive in Illinois after you've been in Texas because they have 85 mile an hour speed limits down there. And today I'm thinking I'm doing 80 and it's only 45. I got to, you know. But you know what I saw while I was in Texas? People with souls. The speed limit might be different, but the people are the same. And everywhere we go, it's an opportunity for us to have compassion and make a difference. We're just supposed to do our part and let the Lord work. But if we don't do our part, then we're hurting the cause of Christ. The good thing about it is He wants to use us. He wants to use us for His glory and to get His word out. But we have to do our part.